live from the List Track Recording Studio. This is Email Marketing Today. Here are your hosts, Ross, Matt, and Brent.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 30 of Email Marketing Today. I'm Brent Schroyer. Also in the studio here today is Ross Kramer and Matt Elliott. How you guys doing?
We're great. Absolutely.
And we have a very special guest on the line with us here today, Gene Jennings, who just did a webinar here with us not too long ago. Hey, Gene, how you doing?
Hey, I'm very well. Thanks so much for inviting me to join you today.
And thanks for joining us here in the show. For those of you that don't know Gene, she's a sought-after consultant in the email marketing space. Has worked with clients including Hasbro, Mayo Clinic, Museum of Science, U.S. Chamber of Commerce, and many, many more. So welcome to the show. And first thing we thought we'd talk about here today is some welcome messages that I was taking a look at. Signed up for Macy's, JCPenney's, and Dillard's here recently. Just was doing some experimenting and couldn't believe that there is actually something wrong with every one of their welcome messages that I got. So thought maybe we'd take a look at talk about those a little bit. The Macy's email came through. Looked very nice, except for the fact that there's a big broken image. The main call to action is a big shop now button. There's alt text on it says shop now, but the button itself is completely broken. And then there's also a nice big picture there of a lovely lady, but it's spring, completely focused on spring. So really surprised to see the broken image there in a Macy's welcome message.
Somebody might want to go in and update that content. It sounds like it's pretty stale if it has spring content in it. Maybe somebody's forgotten it to even sits out there.
You know, it's interesting that you bring this up, Brent, because we saw very similar patterns when we did our shopping cart abandonment study this summer, where we saw broken images all over the place and, you know, text wrapping and that type of thing. So I guess the takeaway is for everybody that's listening in, go have a look at your transactional messages and make sure that they're rendering properly.
Yeah, that's so tough because so many people view transactional messages as set it and forget it. But if you really forget it, you can run into problems.
Yeah, definitely. The next one here on the list is the JCPenney's email, and this one is just plain text, four lines of plain text. The first line being, "Thanks for giving us a try." So
that has got to be a classic. That is
so
horrible.
So they're not sure if this relationship is going to work out, so they don't want to commit to it.
Yeah, so I couldn't believe that one.
Well, it's like giving the wrong phone number in the bar, you know. Yeah, I'll call you later.
That's good.
So the third one here, Dillard's, was really nice. Personalized. The imagery was nice. They actually, you know, they had a bit of a preference center where when I filled out the form, I selected men's, and as part of this message, it says you choose to hear about men's and home, but you can change and update your preferences at any time. They give a nice link to their preference center, but the main issue, the HTML, was an attachment. Came through as an attachment. The actual text says Dillard's Confidential, and that is all that is in the
Come
message
on, Brent,
itself.
You're just making.
I am telling
up.
You, Dillard's Confidential is all that it comes through in that message with an attachment, unnamed.html.
Was this on your old Motorola Sidekick?
I'm telling you, this is what I got into my email here.
In Outlook, not your old Sidekick.
Yeah, four years ago.
Yep. So are you sure that message doesn't self-destruct after you?
it doesn't need to. It's already it's already a waste as it is. Yeah, it's already blown up.
That is just a shame because it sounds like they did everything else right, but something about that send, and whether it's something about the way it's interacting with your email client or whether it's about the way they did the send in the first place is going to make it so that all their hard work goes to waste because people aren't going to see it.
And of course, what I'll do is I'll have to look at the header and diagnose and figure out where it came from and you know, are they sending it from in-house? It sounds like a transactional server. Typically, a lot of times what you see from welcome messages, and this is actually an issue I see a lot, is your transactional messages are being sent off a web server and are being handled by IT a lot and not touched by marketing. And there's a good high likelihood that whatever mail transfer agent they're using on the web, you know, on that web server that's doing the transactional message is creating the content in such, you know, in that fashion.
And Gene, I'm seeing a new line item in your consultancy, which is a audit to make sure that all of your transactional messages are rendering and working properly.
Yeah, I actually starting a couple years ago, I began doing a lot of work with clients on transactional messages, and I wrote a lot about it in my Clixie column. A lot of companies view transactional messages as a cost center. It's sort of a necessary thing you have to do business. And so they do exactly what you said. They turn it over to IT. They have IT write them. They kind of leave it all up to IT. They don't move those messages to an ESP like ListTrack. They keep it in-house because they don't want to spend money on them. And what a lot of companies don't realize is that transactional messages historically have higher open rates than other kinds of email messages, higher click-through rates if there's links in them, and people are actually engaged because typically a transactional message is a response to an action they've taken, so they're more engaged with those messages. So it's really a missed opportunity for a lot of companies. What I find with a lot of companies we end up doing is moving them to an ESP, which can be really smart because a lot of companies spend a lot more transactional messages quantity-wise than other messages. So moving them to the ESP really doesn't cost that much if you have an ESP that, you know, charges you based on the quantity you send each year. So and it also gets you the tracking and reporting that a lot of them are missing. And then you just spend a little bit of time to get somebody to write some good copy and make sure the links and everything are there. And if you add marketing messages, which you can do under canned spam as long as you're careful, you can actually turn them into a profit center where they pay for themselves or actually generate revenue. And so I work with a lot of companies and help them make that shift.
Absolutely. Great advice for everybody that's listening. That kind of makes me think that whole process of what you're describing, you know, that failed transactional message is like a telemarketer calling you, getting through to you finally, getting you on the phone and saying, can I call you back?
Yeah.
You know, I've engaged you, but I'm really not really ready to talk to you right now. So I'll try again later. And the likelihood of you picking up that phone again is not great. And the same thing with them re-engaging with that brand after that initial experience being so horrible. So, yeah,
that's very true. And, you know, the other thing that we often do with transactional messages that I often do is, depending on the client, in a lot of cases, a client is better served by sending a series of welcome messages or a series of other kinds of transactional messages. Again, depending on what it is. But it also can make it more effective for the company themselves.
Now, I understand you actually have written an article. You did some research with and did some consultancy with a company, and you've written an article on an experience with that?
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be published Monday, October 19th on ClickZ. It's my regular every two-week column. But it was interesting. I had a client. It wasn't a transactional message per se. It was a free offer that we were sending to their house list. And it was somewhat complicated. There was a lot to it. There were a lot of different angles to it. So instead of sending out a single message, what we actually did was send out a series of six messages. Each one was different as far as the content, although the links were the same and the links were in the same place in the left column in each of them. And so we sent out this series, one email every 2 weeks over a 12-week period. And the results were really, really exciting. Basically, each email had roughly the same open rate and the same click-through rate. So, you know, they were like, wow, no, they all did fine. But when we did a further analysis on them, I went in and I actually pulled and identified unique opens for each email in the series and unique clicks. And what we found was their email reach was much, much greater. They were reaching more people with these emails. Because even though the open and click-through rate on each email was about the same, we had different people opening them. So, for instance, the open rate after the first email, we had about 6,500 people that opened it. By the sixth email, if you looked at over the whole course of it, cumulative unique opens, we had over 12,000. So it almost doubled their open reach by sending this email series. The second email alone, we had increased their unique opens by 31%. And then we saw the same thing with clicks. With clicks, actually the second send, we had unique clicks increased by 63%. So even though if you look at them individually, you'd think it was about the same open rate and it was probably the same people, it actually wasn't. We were bringing in new people with each email that we sent. And so on the click-through rate, by the end of the series, we basically had tripled the number of unique people who clicked on those emails, on one of those emails. And then we had a couple links that were really critical for them taking advantage of the offer. We also did the same analysis on one of these individual links, and that was really, really stunning. Basically, by the end of the series, we had 5 times as many unique people had clicked on that link as clicked on the first email in the series.
Wow.
So that's really, really telling. So the idea is different people respond to different hot buttons. So that's why each of these messages had different benefit points and different sort of hot buttons in it to get people to click. Different people, things just happen. There might have been someone who's on vacation for 1 week, and so they didn't see one email, but they saw another one. Maybe one email just didn't engage them as well, or they were busy when they opened it. So it's really valuable when you have an important message to get across to think about not just sending a single email and leaving it at that, but actually doing a series where each email builds on the message in the last one, brings in new information, targets some different benefits and hot buttons in detail, and it's a great way to really increase your reach, not only with opens and clicks, but again with that kind of specific action, which is where we saw the most benefit from the series.
Now, that's really great data then that your client can turn around and possibly use to further profile the recipients based on, you know, which hot buttons interested them, and they can do some further testing to see if they've identified a particular behavioral trait or profile attribute based off of their activity that will help them maybe send similar type relevant and engaging copy to them in the future.
Yeah, we've been doing a lot. We've been talking about this quite a bit here recently with our launch of ListTrack Conductor and the event triggered system. Because for any of you ListTrack users that are listening in, you can easily set up an overtime message series like this using ListTrack Conductor. Very easy to set that up. Set up whatever you want that time period to be between each message. And also very easy to go beyond the series to actually engage on those clicks. So you can set up triggers in those messages. If your subscribers click on a specific link, now send them this part of the conversation. So change that series going forward for a specific segment. Very easy to do that with the new ListTrack Conductor system. So for any ListTrack users listening in, definitely good time to jump in and really kind of learn and experiment with that.
It's great that you offer that. I think that that kind of technology is something that's becoming more and more prevalent out there, and a lot of people offer it, which is great, but I think few marketers take advantage of it because it seems like it's a lot of work and there's effort. And I think the nice thing about the system you have is that it's simple to use, and so it makes the resources that you need to set it up and to get the data you need minimal, which gives you a higher chance of really getting tremendous benefit from using it.
Yeah, it really helps to automate the process, kind of takes all those manual touches out of it as well. So it makes it nice and easy to do that.
Are we talking about current events today?
Sure.
The Wall Street Journal article. Gene, are you tuned into the Wall Street Journal article about email is dead?
Oh, yes.
Heard Brent, oh, you've probably seen.
Yep.
I'm embarrassed. I've been out of pocket this week.
No worries. I read the article earlier this week. I don't even know how I got to it. Somehow I got to it. And now I'm sort of part of the conversation here, I guess. I read it and I was like, wow, is this really the Wall Street Journal coming out and saying this stuff? And I had to actually scroll up and read who the author was and
yeah.
I don't know. It was a little off. And so it's got everybody all fired up this week.
You know, it kind of comes, you hear this kind of come and go over the past year from various sources. I believe even did the New Yorker have an article on that, I think like a year ago, and it was a big thing. You know, it's always this social media is going to take over. It's just, you know, we're not there. We're nowhere close. There's no way that Twitter is going to replace email. It's just not going to happen.
Can you fit an order confirmation email in 140 characters?
That's what I was just going to say. I'd like to see that transactional email sent as a tweet.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I will look up that article. Thank you for the heads up. I've been out of pocket. But it's funny because for years now, I've been part of panels at various conferences and various seminars and events. And for years now, and it's always about three people on the other side of the stage that are a little younger than me, a lot younger than me, and me alone on the other side. And the title is always something like, Email is Dead, Long Live. And you can fill in RSS, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, whatever. And literally, this has been going on for years since RSS sort of, you know, came up. And, you know, it's always funny to me because when TV came about, radio didn't die. We just started using radio a little differently. And there's some things that are better on TV and there's other things that are better on radio. I'm a big hockey fan, and I would rather listen to a hockey game on the radio because I think you get better descriptions of what's going on than watching on TV. And that's just me, but I kind of feel the same way about email. Email has its place. I really don't see it going away. And every time they come out with, you know, email's dead, this is going to take its place, it hasn't ever happened. And so there's different types of communications, and that's good. If you think about Facebook, a lot of what I get on Facebook, especially when I'm at a pop, as I am this week, comes through via email on my BlackBerry. When somebody comments or sends me a Facebook message, it gets delivered to me via email. And then I go back to Facebook and I take care of it. But I think a lot of that is just sort of a little bit silly and very, very short-sighted.
I think they're taking a little bit too much of a view on what the youth culture is doing with messaging and whatnot. And maybe social and some of the messaging streams have changed for one-to-one communications. And what you're seeing a lot is one-to-many, where you have people sharing their life stories out in Facebook. And, you know, I don't see as many DM, you know, direct messaging on Twitter as I see things showing up in people's entire stream for the whole world to see. Not very private, not a great way to send, you know, really personal messages. And I think the email maybe as a one-to-one communication mechanism between two people might lose a little bit of relevance, but as in terms of email as a one-to-many way to reach people in a private setting, I think the social media has a long, long ways to go before they could even sniff what email can do in that sense.
And the promotional piece, I think, as well, is that promotions are not generally welcomed in the social stream. And promotions have been welcomed in the email stream. I think that's a kudos to the email industry of cleaning up best practices and really providing value in the inbox and all this stuff we've been talking about with relevancy over the last couple of years. So interesting dialogue. If anybody's, you know, you can Google Wall Street Journal and email is dead and social media, and you'll pop up a bunch of blog posts and things like that.
Yeah. The other thing I always go back to, because, you know, I meet with clients and they go, oh, yeah. I mean, I remember this. I was in with a client and there was an agency that was pitching a blog and they had to do a blog and they had to be on a blog and email is dead. And yet, you know, even back then and even now, if you look at, you know, the revenue generated promotionally from blogs, it's minor compared to what we're getting from email. So I often feel, especially nowadays, but even for a couple of years, email is kind of the workhorse of the online marketing world. It works. It brings in money if you do it right. And these other things are kind of new and hip and sexy. But as far as, you know, being proven revenue generators, they're not really on the radar. And they're not, certainly not at the magnitude that a good email marketing program can bring. So I think that's what a lot of people are also missing when they talk about email is dead. Well, wait a minute, people are still making a lot of money via email, and all these things you're saying are replacing it. They're not making nearly that much money for companies right now. So why in the world would you kill email or stop doing email if you don't have anything to replace it with that's going to generate that revenue?
All very valid points. So we'll keep paying attention to this conversation for sure.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Well, we have another webinar coming up here on October 21st, 10 for 10 Marketing Ideas for the First Post-Brand Decade. That's with special guest Jonathan Salem-Baskin. You can register for that out on our website right now. And you can also take a look at Gene's website as well. If you missed Gene's webinar with us, you can take a look at that out in the resources area of the website. Anything else, guys?
I think that's it. Is it a rainy day in your neighborhood today, Gene?
She's actually in our backyard right now.
Oh, no kidding. So it's raining, definitely raining on her then.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm in the suburbs of Philadelphia this week,
cool.
And it is cold and raining.
It's hockey weather finally.
There you go.
It's one way to look at it, right? You got to life gives you lemons, make lemonade, right? So
That's right. I'm missing a few games this week, but I'll be back at it this weekend. So.
Good deal. Well, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, Gene.
Yeah, thanks, Gene.
Thank you all for having me, and enjoy the rest of this cold, wet day.
Oh, and you do the same. We're looking forward to seeing your article come out, and I'm sure it's going to generate some discussion as well.
Great.
And we will talk to you all next time. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.